15 and have a chance to look at God's Word together and see what He has for us. We were looking at this together as a staff and leadership and looking at starting the year, and we thought we'd start with the word flourish. The word flourish is not used a ton. It's not our common vocabulary these days, but it's really a blessing and a wish for this next year that you would flourish, that you would flourish. Flourishing, that you would be more than just a happy new year. I think it involves being, you know, we turn to each other and we say happy new year at Christmas Eve, you know, or sorry, New Year's Eve. But I think we want more than that. We want contentment. We want to thrive. We want to be at peace. We want to experience love. We want it, the whole deal, right? The whole package for 2015. It's kind of this, may it go well with you. It's a blessing. And, you know, within, Christ's followers forever have like kind of turned to each other and blessed each other. And I was just thinking this morning, would you be willing to turn to the person next to you and say, may you flourish in 2015? Can you go out on a limb and go to the person next to you and say, may you flourish in 2015? That's awesome. You know, we just had a little mini New Year's Eve party right there. A mini New Year's Eve party right there. I think, you know, beyond that, too, I hope that with your desire for this coming year, and people make New Year's resolutions, and oftentimes they stand, and sometimes they don't, but maybe more times they don't stand, but I hope that your desire for this year is that you would flourish, that you would say, I want to flourish. God actually wants you to flourish. That's His intention. That's His plan. I looked in the Urban Dictionary about what it means to flourish, and it says to grow or develop in a healthy or vigorous way. Do you want to grow and develop in a healthy and vigorous way this next year? I think we all do. Yeah, that's right. Some people are actually answering. And here's what it says, especially as a result of a particularly favorable environment, and as in wild plants flourish on the banks of a lake. And you'll notice our image there is sort of like flourishing, you know, growth that happens. And I love that idea. I think of back when I was a teenager, we moved into a new house and it didn't have a lawn and stuff, and we kind of threw out some seed and developed some lawn on our house, but it was pretty pathetic. It was really bad. And I'll never forget my dad looking at us one spring, and we anticipate spring, right? At this time of the year, we're looking forward to spring. And said, we got to do something about that. He says, I've got just the idea. He says, we're going to this farm. And a friend of his had a farm. And he enlisted all of us. I had two brothers. Okay, boys, we're loading up the truck, the trailer, everything. We're going down this farm. Backed it up to a big pile of manure. And he said, we're going to create an environment where our lawn is going to flourish. He didn't actually say that. I made that up. But he said something like that. If he could have used those words, he would have. And he had a shoveling, you know what, for a whole day. And I'll never forget, you know, loading up that truck and trailer. And he brought us to the back where the manure was most, you know, cured and been there the longest. And it was that blackened stuff, right, that turned almost to dirt. And he says, boys, this is black gold right here. And we're going, I don't know. It looks to me a lot more like whatever. But we shoveled it up and loaded it out to our front yard. I remember friends coming by and going, what are you doing? Oh, we're just shoveling. And we threw it all over the yard. And wouldn't you know it, I mean, it flourished. The grass just went from there, right? And we put it in the garden and everywhere. And it just kind of created this incredible environment to grow, to develop. The point I want to make this morning, more than anything, I guess I'll just say the bottom line right at the front end here, is that there is an environment that God has given us to flourish. And it's in relationship to Him and relationship with others. It's ultimately where we grow is in relationship. And God has created this unique organism called the church for us to flourish. An environment for us to flourish is within the church. And I know the church can raise up all sorts of images and ideas in our mind. It might bring to mind a building. We don't have a building here. It might bring to mind some past memories. It might be good, might be bad, whatever, but the bottom line is, God wants us to flourish, and he wants us to flourish in an environment where it's in a healthy relationship with him and a healthy relationship with others. And his big dream for this point in time where we live right now is for the church to be that place where we can flourish. And we're going to unpackage that over the next month. That's what Kevin was talking about. When you look at the Bible and you kind of look at the first couple of chapters, you realize that right in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and I don't have scripture up there. If you've got Bibles, you can look them up or on your iPhones or whatever. But everything about Genesis 1 and 2 was about God creating this environment, creating this place where we can flourish. You look at the habitats of all these different planets and things that are going on. God made things so that it would grow on this planet. That he, you know, on the fifth day, he says, let the water swarm with fish and other life swarm. Let the skies be filled with birds and every kind. So God created the great sea and the creatures. And then on the sixth day, he says, let the earth produce every sort of animal. He created all these animals. Then he said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And they'll reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals. God says, I want you as people and uniquely as human beings in my image to flourish. And uniquely, humans were able to have this relationship with God that was open and flourishing. And it was just this wonderful place. It was called the Garden of Eden. And he made every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And everything was great. It was amazing. God's intention for human beings was that we would flourish. That's right there, right at the front end. And we find very quickly, what happens early in the story, right into the second and third chapter, is that people decided, you know what, we think we can flourish without God. And so they said, you know, we can do it on our own. And the short word for that is they sinned. And they created this, and this environment completely changed. And it's kind of the environment we live in today. There's a deprivation. There's an anti-flourishing, if you want to use that word, kind of environment that is oftentimes around us. And even as we look at the next year, we look at, you know, hurdles and obstacles and things that are kind of not creating this environment for flourishing. But the great thing is, if you turn to the very back path, so the first couple of chapters of the Bible talk about an environment that's flourishing, and the last couple of chapters of the Bible talk about a place where we can be flourishing. And in Revelation chapter 21, it says, and I saw a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. He's saying, I want an environment again where you can flourish. I'm going to be right there among you. And he says, God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. These things are gone forever. And then the invitation is put out there, come. Come, everybody. It's an invitation, like we've been talking about. The great invitation is to spend eternity there with God. And so we've got the first couple of chapters of flourishing. We have God creating a new heaven and a place where it's going to flourish, where everything is flourishing again, this great hope that we have looking forward to the future. And we live in between. And you read through the whole story between is the story really of human beings and their challenges as they go along. And this environment that they're working with that isn't always favorable to flourishing. I think of some years back when I had my own yard and I had to actually be responsible for it and moving into a new neighborhood and we put some lawn out. My next door neighbor said, you know, I haven't been able to put out some grass yet on my backyard, but I'm going to England for a month. Would you mind just taking care of it? And here I've got a weed, you know, one of those weed clipper things. What are they called? Weed whacker or whatever. And he says, you know, could you just kind of keep the vegetation down? And I said, sure. But I didn't really look at his yard for the next few weeks. And all of a sudden I did. And there was like knee-high weeds everywhere, right? Just everywhere. I spent a whole day out there just hacking through these weeds. It was too rough. The backyard hadn't been, I couldn't use the lawnmower or whatever. I just think about that as an image of oftentimes in our lives, right? Left untended, left on its own, things don't tend to flourish in the right way. It takes some intentionality on our part. And I think as we look at 2015, we look at it and we go, what can I do? How can I look towards flourishing in this new year? The great news is that God has a plan for us to flourish in the in-between chapters in the Bible. And it started at Christmas. It started with the person of Jesus coming into this earth. It continued on through his life and ultimately to Easter. And what we have with the person of Christ is him coming into this world and working through breaking the powers that are against flourishing in this world, and creating a path and a plan and a way for us to flourish as well. The powers that work against us in this world, against flourishing, did their best and their worst against Christ and putting him on the cross. But when he went there and he died, taking that death upon himself, he broke the powers against the flourishing. And it's this incredibly inspirational kind of story for our lives to live in, is what God said. Now you can live in that story. As you take the powers that are there at work inside of you to go against anti-flourishing and you put them to death, as I did, then you will flourish as well. It's a story of communion. It's a story of baptism. It's the story that God gives us over and over again within the church so that we can flourish. Jesus broke the powers that keep us from flourishing. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul comes to this point where he's just like, he's writing this letter, and it's like he breaks out into this inspirational speech. I've got an inspirational speech up on a video, if you guys are able to pull that up. It's like Paul's writing along, and he just all of a sudden breaks out and goes, "Man, I pray for you." And here's what he says. You can cue up the video. Okay, here we go.
Wide receiver for the Patriots. You guys had one heck of a game tonight. How'd it go? I mean, it was going a little back and forth. You guys knew it was going to be a tough dogfight out there, and it was. So what were you guys able to do to come back and win this thing?
All right, well, at first we started slow. We started real slow. And, you know, that's all right. That's okay, because sometimes in life you're going to start slow. That's okay. We told ourselves, hey, we're going to start slow. We're going to keep going fast. We're going to start slow, but we're always, always going to finish fast. No matter what the score was, we're going to finish hard. We're going to finish fast. Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie. They had us. We weren't defeated, but they had us. But it took guts. It took an attitude. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to be successful is an attitude. And that's what our coach told us. He said, hey, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You're going to go out there. You're going to battle. You're going to fight. You're going to do it for one. You're going to do it for one another. Do it for each other. You're going to do it for yourself. You're going to do it for us. And you're going to go out with this win. And we believe that. We truly did. And it's an awesome feeling. It's an awesome feeling when you truly believe that you're going to be successful. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the scoreboard, you're going to be successful because you put in all the time, all the effort, all the hard work, and you know that it's going to pay off. And if it doesn't pay off, you continue to give God the glory. If you still lose the game, you continue to get each other's back. And that's what we realized. Win or lose, we realized that we were going to be all right. It was going to be okay. We're gonna keep smiling. It was awesome. Awesome.
Paul's always got a smile on his face. Talk about attitude. This guy's got attitude.
I'm sure you'd probably listen to him rather than me up here right now. Is that not inspirational? But, you know, you look at the story. I mean, that so much of the reason why we love sports is, at least I do, is because there's this place of kind of, you're beaten down. You don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you're staying in there like he's talking about. And the hard work and the going through it. And the wonderful thing about this relationship with Christ, this bigger game of life, really, is that Jesus has gone before us. And he has broken the powers already. And shown us already the way to succeed, the way to win, the way to flourish in life. And the Apostle Paul, similarly to what happened with Apollos Hester up there in the screen, is writing along, and he also just breaks out in the book of Ephesians into this kind of this speech, this wonderful kind of poem, this hymn. And this is what it says in Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. It says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those of us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. I think if Apostle Paul was to be speaking those words, he might be saying it in the tone that this football player is talking about. He's saying, do you understand? Do you know how great this is? That God took all the powers against flourishing, against what is going against you, and he has taken them and he's thrown them into the pit of hell. And he's saying, now you can live this way. for those who believe in him. I think that's a key phrase right there. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. What is it in your life, in your relationships, in your world, that you need a resurrection this year? That you need to, you look at it and you go, I would love that area to flourish. Maybe it's been going towards the weeds direction for a while. But you say, I want to see it flourish. I want to see it grow. Paul's laying that out for us. And he brings out for us the fact that God came to die on the cross so that the vision for flourishing would happen in our lives. So that he would take all that is wrong in our lives, that we would experience freedom and forgiveness, that we can deal with the past so that we don't have to stay there and we can move towards the future and flourish. God gave us this incredible environment. The next couple of verses talks about the place and the environment that we can do to flourish. And it says in Ephesians 1, verse 22 and 23, that's the next couple of verses, and God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Paul's saying, if you want to keep growing, if you want to learn, the plan that God has given you is to grow in relationship with other people. He's actually saying there's this incredible, mysterious thing called the church that God says, as you plug in, as you connect in there, he says, you're going to see that God fills all things everywhere. It's going to become clear to you. You do that in community. You grow as you come together. Now, initially, the disciples didn't understand that. The followers of Jesus, they saw things individualistically. They saw things as, well, if I follow, you know, maybe, and you have Peter and John, you know, John and James coming to Jesus and saying, no, I want to sit on the right hand, and I want to sit on the left, and it's this sort of kind of game where they're saying, we want more power. We want to be on the top. And Jesus took all of that and he reversed it. And he said, you know what? If you want to follow me, I want you to come and to serve others. I want you to grow in relationship with others. And that in that kind of taking your own personal power and using it for the benefit of others, as I have done, you will flourish. That's the path towards flourishing. And he says the place where you're going to be able to do that with other Christ followers is this place called the church. That's where you're going to flourish. It said, Jesus made that promise. He says, I've built my church and the powers of hell will not conquer it. He said, you know what? There's going to be so many things going against what's going on in your lives individually. Even what's going to go against you in terms of as a group together. But he says, you'll flourish. It's not, you will win. You will overcome. It is a great future for you. And so we see in this book, there's this great point at the beginning where it talks about flourishing. There's this great point at the end where it talks about the time after this life where we will flourish again. In between that, in the book of Acts, we have this incredible picture of this kind of busting out kind of flourishing that happened again in people's lives. And I just want to, in the few minutes that we have left, take a few minutes to kind of look at the path that was there for the new followers of Jesus, and that's there for us as well. And it's found in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2. We're going to put some of these verses up on the screen, but you're welcome to look at it too. And it talks about, if you want an environment for flourishing, what you're going to need, and Jesus made this promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you're going to need the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to need the Holy Spirit. And up until that time, the Holy Spirit had come in various forms, different places, different times. But now he's saying, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go to heaven, Jesus said, bodily. But I'm going to leave you with God's power in the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He says, you know what? You're going to get connected to this power. And it's going to be so busting out of you that you're going to be a bit like Apollos, Esther. It's not that not all of us have that personality, but it's going to come out of you and you're going to say, you know what? You got to know that you can win. There's this kind of sense where you're going to say, as you connect to the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to see others connect as well. And at Coast Hills, our vision for this church is helping people discover and follow Jesus. And we recognize that what that is about is each one of us saying, you know, I want to get on that mission together with God. That I want to see it go on to others as well. And the disciples ended up catching that vision. And after the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2, you find Peter just spontaneously standing up in front of people. Maybe he didn't have a mic quite like this fellow, like an interviewer, but it was almost like that. And they had this incredible bursting out and flourishing that was happening in these people's lives. And people are like, what's going on with these people? And he gets up and he gives this speech that everybody stops to listen to, Peter. And at the end of the speech, in verse 38, he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know what? If you want this power inside of you to flourish, then here's how. He says, first of all, you do like Jesus did, and you die to yourself. There's a type of repentance where you say, you know what? I'm going to die to my own individual pursuits, what I'm about, everything that's just about me, and I'm going to turn to God. He says, if you'll do that, he says, and you'll demonstrate that through baptism. We had a baptism here recently. That whole idea of going under the water and dying to yourself, your own power, and coming up in the power of Jesus. He says, well, as you do that, you will flourish. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he tells people that. And it turns out 3,000 people are there in the congregation. At least 3,000 people are listening to him. And they turn to Jesus. And they turn to him and they say, you know what? We want that for our lives as well. So it starts with that. It's connecting to the Holy Spirit. It's connecting to the person of Jesus and what he's done for us. And then they connected to a local church. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those who believed what Peter was saying were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. So at that point, they all said, okay, we're in. We're all in. We're in this together. And they connected with a church. It was the Jerusalem church at the time. They laid down their lives and they found life. That is the place where they found the life of Jesus again. Flourishing means connecting with Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, connecting with others in a church. And it's amazing to see where that kind of went from there. In the following verses in chapter 2, it says in verse 44, it says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They said, you know what? We're for each other now. We all together have bought into this whole vision, this whole idea that flourishing is actually by laying down our lives before Jesus and before others and saying, we're in this together. There's this incredible kind of life that started to kind of be lived out through their lives. You know, it's hard to imagine what that would have been like for those people in that first church. But I think there's glimpses that we get all the time whenever we come together as Christ followers and we share the life of Jesus with each other and we speak words of life. We speak words of encouragement. We speak words of hope into each other's life, where we share with each other the encouragement that we found from Christ. Now, certainly for them, there was a material kind of sharing with each other, and that's significant. And that happens all the time, and we give opportunity for that here at Coast Hills. We have the community care offering that we use for people who are in financial need. I keep hearing about kinds of care that goes on between people in life groups at Coast Hills. And at Coast Hills, we obviously come together on Sunday mornings and we have that aspect of caring for each other as we come here. Where it best happens is in relationship, when people know each other well and care for each other well. That's the kind of life that this group of people had. It talks about how they met in the temple and then they met in homes. And I think what's amazing about coming together in homes is that it gives us an opportunity to actually hear each other's story, to hear what's going on in each other's lives, and to know how to care for each other. At Coast Hills, we really provide that opportunity through life groups. And there's a whole lot of life groups that are going on. I wanted to get a picture of a certain journey towards life group from Dave Esau. Where's Dave? There's Dave. Come on up, Dave. We want to hear your story. Maybe I'm going to grab this mic here so that you can speak into that. We were over at Dave and Heather's place for New Year's Eve and saw the new year in together there. And we got to talking a little bit at the door on the way out. And Yolson said it was a year ago, January 1st, that you said, hey, you know what? We feel God's calling us to a new place and a new community and a new place in your faith journey as well. And so you showed up at Coast Hills this past January or February. Share with us a little bit about that first coming in and your experience with getting connected here.
Well, for us, for my wife and our children, it would have been the first Sunday of January 2014. It was a hard choice. We left the place we'd been going for 20 years. And we left our children at home that day because it's hard sometimes to drag your children when you don't know exactly where you're going. We hadn't actually planned on coming to Coast Hills. We actually planned on going to a Baptist church down the street. But as we left our house, we'd been studying and going online, and we'd gone and read the Confession of Faith that Coast Hills had. So we knew we wanted to come and check it out. But as we left the house, I turned right instead of left, and I don't know why, other than the Spirit of God led us so. And we ended up walking through the door here. We came in, we sat down, we got greeted at the door, and we didn't come from a church that had music, so this was a little overpowering, and you could imagine, Ronyell was giving her. And at that one point, a couple songs in, he stopped, and he said, "Now, just turn to someone you don't know, and just wish them a happy day. Just say hello." And I'd never experienced that before. Having come from a church 20 years, we'd never experienced anything like that. And it was different. It was more family in a big setting than I'd ever experienced before. So then the day continued on, and it all happened. And at the end, as we were about to leave, one of the families came back up and spoke to us, and they just talked to us a little bit about where we were from, why we were here, what we were doing. And at the end, they said, "Well, wherever God through the Spirit leads you, we hope that you find the right place. We'd love to see you back, but we pray that you find the right place for you and your family." And that, to me, really was the picture of caring. It's not that come back and be with us. Don't make us bigger. It was that God was going to find us the right place for us at that point in time.
That's awesome. That's great. And you mentioned from there on, you had kind of connected with the Sunday morning service, and then there was a thought, well, you heard about life groups, and you were curious about getting involved in that. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so we heard about life groups, didn't exactly know what they were, but you can poke your way around, you can talk to people, you can find Wally and others, and you just start finding out. We didn't really know where to go, so thankfully I have an amazing wife who, while I was going to school and working and doing things, she just decided she's going to try to hit up all the life groups that she could possibly hit. She just started going like night after night after night, just going to life groups and checking them all out, because where do you go? Who are we going to fit in with? Who would accept us? I am the epitome of German that says you can always tell a German, you just can't tell them much. So thankfully, Peter and Diane were really kind to us. Pastor Peter, we've all known, has been standing up through his struggle and trials right now. They really opened up their home to us, and we went there for a few months, which for those few months, it was exactly what we needed. They understood what we were coming from. We had baggage, and we had some things that came with us, and they were just really compassionate and really caring and just really helped us let those things go, in a sense that no hard feelings from where we left. Take all the good that we left and keep it, and then just find the good that's here. And then after a few months, we realized we had teenagers, and with teenagers come struggles. And what we needed others that were going to be able to live that struggle with us and help us through it. Maybe others that have experienced it and give us wisdom to help through those nights where, you know, you maybe wish you didn't have teenagers. And so we ended up going to a different life group, and now we are going to the same life group as Wayne and Suzanne, and there's others, there's the Rogersons, and it's a new experience.
That's great. We meet at your place on Thursday nights, starting again this Thursday. What's the journey like in life group now? What benefit do you find from being involved in a life group?
What we found is one of the main things that we really were looking for, what we felt the Spirit of God was really leading us to, is we had wanted to find, to coin a phrase, true community, a place where you don't have to hide your struggles. As a Christian, there are things I struggle with. You know, I'm in Christ, but I'm not perfect. I have struggles. Everybody, probably, if they're willing to acknowledge it, we have our own struggles. If we hide those struggles from other people, we're not really dealing with them. you can't always open up to everybody. I wouldn't want to stand up here with a microphone and just lay out all the troubles I experience in my life. But it is nice to have a smaller group where you can open up your struggles with. And in that life group, we've had tears. People have cried about the things that they're struggling through. But you're in a community and in a little tight enough group that there's those that can help, those that can understand, and those that can cry and pray with you. Because it's not your night to be that way. You can then be the one that would help hold somebody up. And another week, it's somebody else. But to be in a group where you can feel a comfort and a security to open up, and actually then by doing so, it's amazing for myself, just being able to say some of the things. I have an accountability partner somewhere else where we just share things going on in our lives. Just that ability to even say the things that I've thought or that I struggle with allows the Lord to come in and actually start working in my life. But I needed others to help me get there.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks a lot for sharing. Let's give Dave a hand. That was awesome to hear. You know, that kind of community, that kind of care is described in this book of Acts chapter 2, where it talks about how they came together, how they shared with one another, and imagine they shared their struggles, their challenges, the hurdles that were going on in life, and they prayed for each other. And then the next verses go on to say, they worshiped together in the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, that's another word for communion, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people. And it says, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. There's this kind of spirit of care that out of that comes a spirit of celebration. I believe when we really feel cared for, when we really are known and have that kind of spirit of Christ within us that says, I'm laying myself down for the sake of engaging in other people so that they would flourish as well. That kind of spirit together is what creates this kind of environment where there's also a celebration, where you go, you know what? We can make it through. This year is going to be good. This week, this next day, we can do this together because we have the Spirit of God in us. We're connected to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, and to one another. We're doing this together. There's an old African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And the picture that God has for us, the environment for us to grow in, is where we are together. Whether we're together with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ in our lives, He's at the very center of each group. And then together we're moving forward through the challenges. That's what makes it unique. The kind of celebration that Christ followers experience in that kind of an environment, it might not be rah-dee-dah and big and flourishing, or I mean in terms of a big splash. We know how superficial splashes can be in some ways. Sometimes they can just be escapes, right? Certain kinds of celebrations are just escapes from the normal kind of day-to-day. Oftentimes, New Year's Eve parties are like that. They're just escapes. And it's interesting. I was curious about the New Year's party in Times Square because my wife and I, for our 25th anniversary, had a chance to fly over to New York this summer. So for the first time, I was standing in Times Square and going, okay, so they packed 1 million people into Times Square this last New Year's Eve. 1 million people. It's amazing. By early morning hours, it's a highly controlled environment, actually. We were down there for July 4th. And we watched the fireworks there. And you can imagine when you have that kind of crowds, the amount of, you feel like cattle kind of going into stalls and, you know, through gates and down barricades and everything. And they had that all going on. You don't see that, I don't think, on TV. All these people are drawn to it. But I was interested in the cleanup. The cleanup after New Year's Eve party there on Times Square requires 170 workers, 26 mechanical sweepers, and 38 leaf blowers. They do it very quickly and efficiently. Last year, the workers removed 52.3 tons of debris. 52.3 tons of debris. Okay. If that was left there, it would not be a place of flourishing. The wonderful thing, it's oftentimes a short-lived party. You know, it's big, it's famous. There was all sorts of kind of people coming from everywhere, from Scotland to Argentina to be there because they've seen it on TV. But at the end of the day, you leave. And I imagine a lot of people are like, okay, back to the old routine, right? The vision that's there in Acts is that each day there's a type of celebration that happens in our lives because we know that it's the junk in our lives is being swept out, so to speak, by God each day, that it's being taken care of. He's dealt with that on the cross. It's another reason to celebrate. And it says they would meet regularly in the temple. And I think the equivalent to that, and it became a practice for early Christ followers, is that they would meet together on the first day of each week. Why the first day? Because that was they wanted to commemorate. This is the first day of the week when Christ came back to life again, when he came and resurrected. So every Sunday is a resurrection. Every Sunday is an opportunity to come together and say, we remember. And that's why we do communion. We remember that the victory has already been there. God has created a path for us to flourish in today. He hasn't just left us between Genesis and Revelation. He's actually working in our lives. And with the Holy Spirit coming in the book of Acts, we have this reason to flourish in our lives. We have this pathway to flourish in relationship with Christ, in relationship with others. We want to unpackage that over the next month and talk some more about what each of these kind of aspects mean at Coast Hills, that we want to be there to connect. We want to connect with Christ, with his Holy Spirit, with each other. We want to come together to care for each other. And our primary strategy for that is through small groups, much just like the early Christians. They met in homes. They shared with each other. They encouraged each other. They built each other up. They reminded themselves of what Jesus had done for them. And we come together as well to celebrate. And that each Sunday would be a celebration. And it might not look like Times Square. That's a pretty big party to clean up off afterwards. But it's something that's consistent and it's regular. And it actually creates this kind of, it reminds us there's a new life inside of us. And that's why it says one of the things that we do in church is come together and regularly celebrate communion. And we want to give opportunity for that this morning. I can flourish because Jesus took the death upon himself. All the anti-flourishing in the world, he took upon himself. And because of that, I recognize I can connect to God. I connect to him through the Holy Spirit who's there in my life. And I can connect with others in a much more profound and real and deep way, knowing that together we can make it because God has already made it before us. And we can celebrate. And so I want to invite you to do that this morning. One of the opportunities that we give here at Coast Hills is if you'd like to pray with somebody, maybe there's something in your life or that you're experiencing right now. Obviously, as Dave said, life groups are an avenue to do that. We welcome you to talk to us about that. If you'd like to kind of take a shot at life group, maybe you want to just try it out like they did and experiment with coming out once. Love to talk to you about that. Any of the pastors or leaders here would love to talk to you about that. You can also come together. And this morning, maybe there's something you'd like to pray for. You'd like to say, you know what? I'd like to see this area flourish in my life or in the life of my family or in the life of my work or my relationships. There's two tables at the back. One's gluten-free on that side. One's got gluten in it on the other side. Same with the lines up front. If you just want to take communion and go back to your seat and we're going to sing together. Jenny, if you'd like to come up, we're going to sing as we do this. And we're just going to give you an opportunity to worship, to take part in communion, to pray with somebody at the back if you'd like to. And then we'll close out by taking our community care offering afterwards. So when you come and you take the bread, you can just dip it in the juice and take it right away while you do that. So if those who are serving communion would like to come to the front, and if we'd all stand together, that would be great.